We were studying the book of Acts on Friday night, and we were doing the last section of chapter 20, and we spent time on the farewell message which Paul gave to the elders of Ephesus. And as I was we were sharing, the Lord placed a burden on me throughout that meeting that there's something in the last few verses which we really can take lessons from. And I had originally prepared something else for sharing this morning, but then that burden was so great on me that evening that I decided, well, perhaps we should share something on those last few verses. So let's turn back to Acts chapter 20, and we will read verse 28 to 35. I don't know how far all the various different groups have, how far you have shared, whether you have completed that passage or not, but I think there's something, some very useful lessons to remind us today as we travel on that road onto a higher ground. And as we ask our Lord to plant us on a higher ground, I think there's some very pertinent things that we can learn from what Paul said here. So let us read verse 28 right down to 35, chapter 20, Acts. Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I command you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Paul had spent 3 years with the Ephesian Christians, and now he knows that he is leaving them, so he sent for the elders to come to church and gave them some encouragement. Although it is addressed to the elders, the overseers, those who are leading the church in Ephesus, but what he said in these few verses, I think, equally apply to Christians today, even individual Christians, that there are some things there which we can learn, because in today's world, in today's circumstances, there are many similarities with the situation in Ephesus. You know, the activities today, the commercial activities, the all kinds of social activities, have in many ways are similar to those in Ephesus, if not more complicated today and more difficult to manage. So here in these five verses, we can find that there are five areas in which Christians could or should be careful, should take notice and learn. The first one is about carelessness, and that's why there's a general reminder by Paul there that in verse 28 to take heed. That is to say, to pay attention. We need to pay attention to certain things. Again, in verse 31, it says, watch and remember. So Paul started, after he has reviewed the past 3 years, how he has been faithful to the Ephesians, to the church in Ephesus, and he looked at the present situation, and he was speaking about the future. When he is gone, when he has left them, he reminded them of all things. You have to pay attention, take heed, you watch, and you remember. I think today we need to pay attention as well, for there are many things that can affect our faith in the Lord Jesus and on the path that we are trodding. What did Paul say that they need to take heed and pay attention to? In verse 29, it says that after my departure, savage wolves will come in from among you. And then verse 30, it says, and from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, and so on and so forth. So Paul is reminding these Ephesian elders, and which means the Christians in those days too, that the world is such that there are various things that can come into and disturb to a Christian's walk. They come from outside like wolves. The attacks come, the disturbance come, the distractions come from somebody from the outside. The Lord himself taught us also that there will be wolves in sheep's clothing. They look like sheep, they are very tame and seems to be doing nothing, but they are in fact wolves. In the Old Testament days, you have false prophets, and in Paul's days, you have the false teachers. Even today, there are many false teachings circling around, which can easily lead us astray. So we have to be careful, pay attention and watch, and be very vigilant about false teachings these days. There are many people who have their unusual and maybe very strange teachings and heresies, and therefore it is very important that we know what is right and what is wrong. In other words, we need to know well the Word of God and accurately to be able to detect if there's something wrong, there's something which is not from the Bible, which is not quite right. Immediately we are alerted, because it says that, you know, there will be people teaching unusual things, coming in among you and not sparing the flock. These people come in with strange teachings. They profess to teach the Word of God, and in fact they are not, because behind those teachings they have gone something beyond what the Word of God says. That's why today we must be very careful and really know the Word of God. You know, today on the internet there are so many websites, you just click any anything, you will find a lot of Christian websites, a lot of teachings, a lot of Bible study, commentaries, and so on. And many of them are very interesting and very, very stimulating. Many of them are very accurate and very helpful to us. But there are some which we have to be very careful. Last night I tried to get on the web and look up a few ones. There are websites from the Mormons, from the Jehovah's Witnesses, from the Christian Science people, from all kinds of people. If you just read what they say, they seem to be okay. But if you go deeper and think about it, then somewhere there is something wrong. You can't lay hands on what is actually wrong, but the Holy Spirit tells us it's not quite right. And we can only judge that if we know the Word of God well. What the Bible says and what these other articles are saying. So we need to be very careful today because there are wolves coming in from the outside to disturb us, to lead us astray. And this is one of the greatest danger in today in our faith, that will affect our faith in Jesus. Now not only that, Paul says that there are not only wolves coming in from the outside, but verse 30 says that there will also be among yourselves men who will rise up and speaking perverse things, verse 30, to draw away the disciples after themselves. See, even today, in amongst the church from within, there can be danger lurking around the corner. Some people may have their own motives, they may have their own ideas, which is not quite correct, which is not quite what the Bible says. They will rise up and speak things that can lead us astray. Sometimes they are so subtle that it is not easy for us to distinguish. When something is from the outside, it is easier for us to detect. When it is from someone from inside, then many times these things are more subtle, and we need to be very careful. Again, we have to come back to the Word of God. Compare what they say with what the Word of God says. Because sometimes these things that lead us astray will shift our focus away from the Lord Himself. We'll focus away our consecration away from the Lord Himself. There are many examples of these which are so subtle that it's not easy to discern. Even in the Old Testament days, we see, for example, Balaam. All right, the Bible refers Balaam to the way of Balaam, the error of Balaam. It is not easy to detect, and we have to be very skillful only if we know the Word of the Lord. Compare everything if we are not sure. Go back to the Word of God. Go back to the Bible and see what the Bible teaches us. Let us not be careless. Very often we are very careless. You know, we like new things. We like strange ideas or novel ideas, and then knowingly or not knowingly, we are being gradually and unknowingly led away from the Word of God. And then there are not only wolves in sheep's clothing coming from the outside, or people from the inside that can distract us. There is that greater influence today, the world around us. It also affects us in many, many ways. And if you are not careful, if you do not know God's Word well, it's very easy for the outside world influence to lead us astray. And we have to be very careful. Sometimes things are innocent by themselves, but if we are not careful, then our focus will be gradually I will gradually be drawn away from the Lord, from the Word of God, and we fall into a trap. You see, if there's a wolf outside and we are inside, and the wolf is howling outside, we just close the door, right? That's easy. But if the wolf is inside, then it's more difficult. If the wolf is all around us wherever we go, then it is more difficult. You know, when I think about this, you know, we can never fake a life. We can fake a lot of things, but if it is a life, we can never fake a life. And Christians are not asked so much to focus their attention on the fruit of something, but to go back to look at the tree from which the fruit comes from. And then you notice whether that fruit is the origin from which the fruit comes from is really right. Years ago in UK, when we were living there, we had a large backyard, we call it the back garden there. And Anita and I are never good, don't have green fingers. So one day some sister gave us some tomato seeds, and it's easy to plant, just throw in the soil and then it will grow and it will bear fruit. So we put it in. Lo and behold, it does grow. It did grow, and it did bear fruit. I have got 2 or 3 tomatoes in the end about this size. And I was so happy, and I told the sister who gave us the seeds, I said, "We got tomatoes, you know, the plant you gave me." So he said, "And how many?" I said, 2. He said, "What? 2? And I said, it's big, you know, it's about that size." "What?" He said, "Come and look at my garden." And she had the plants from the same seed, and he got bundles and chunks of tomatoes, huge ones. And then I realized, you know, it's not the fruit that you need really to focus on, it's the plant. You don't take care of the plant, the fruit will show up what the plant is. Today, the only thing is, yes, of course, we look at the fruit, we look on the outside, the appearances and the effect. But we need to go back to the basic things, the root of it. If our understanding of the Word of God is not correct, is not accurate, if we do not know well the Word of God, then we are in trouble. The fruit that we bear will not be what the Lord wants. So we need to be very careful, and we need to pay attention to what's happening around us, knowing that there are many things, humans, other things around us that can really affect how we run the race, how we walk our Christian walk. And Paul was very much burdened about the Ephesian church. So he told the Ephesian elders that you have to watch. You have to be careful. You pay attention and remember. You teach, yet you have to remember what it is. He told the Ephesian elders, he said, don't forget the 3 years which I've been toiling with you. I've been working with you in tears in order that you may get yourselves onto the right road. Focus on the Word of God. Pray, watch, and remember. These are the same words that we need to take hold of today as well. We need to remember to look back to those saints who have gone before us, how they lived their lives, compare their lives with what the Word of God teaches. And that's why sometimes I recommend, brothers and sisters, to read some biographies of these saints before us, because you see in their lives, really, in their biographies, how they lead their lives, how they are watchful, how they compare everything, live their lives according to the Word of God. So the first thing here, in the first that Paul says, Christians, watch and take heed, pay attention, don't let things which are outside the Word of God to lead you astray, to distract your focus from the Lord. Then the second thing here is in verse 32, where it says, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." The word of grace, the word of grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance. I think another area which, as Christians, and I remind myself also, is the shallowness we have today. You know, we've been Christians very long, and very often our understanding of God's word and God's purpose in us is very shallow. Very, very shallow indeed. That's a general problem with God-loving children today. It's not that we do not want to grow in the Lord. We certainly want to grow in the Lord. But we are sometimes so spiritually so immature that we do not really have a good and thorough understanding of his plan for us. We do not have a good grasp and understanding of God's word. And that is because we do not have a close fellowship with the Lord. We do not spend time in having prayer fellowship with him. We do not have time we do not spend enough time to study his word. And the world around us is getting more and more complicated every day. And sometimes we don't even know how to manage the time we have available to us. And so our study of the Bible has very low priority in our lives. And that is what is causing the shallowness in many Christians. When we come to the Word of God, we must admit that we have only a very superficial understanding. I'm not sure what your experience is, but my experience is that when I come to study the Bible really carefully, I find that I understand so little of what is said in the Bible. You know, we may know, we may understand what is said there, literally, what the words say, but the spiritual significance, sometimes we don't go deep, not deep enough, we just don't understand what the passage is saying to us. I'm sure in our Bible study fellowship and so on, we just skim over and touch the surface of what is said there. There are so much there that we should have understood, and so much there that the Word wanted to teach us, and we don't really understand it. And that shallowness is costing us a lot in our Christian walk, in our growth. And it is a pity today that we do not really spend enough time in studying the Word of God. Just take an example. We talk to gospel friends. We want to preach the gospel to someone. We can tell them all the facts. We can tell them even the spiritual significance. And when this friend maybe come back to us and ask us a simple question, we don't know how to answer them. We quickly scramble and try to find solutions and try to seek help from others. The death of our faith, it shows up. It's so shallow that we are just touching the surface of what the Lord really wants to tell us. You know, in the letter to the Hebrews, the writer said something which is really very significant. In chapter 5, it says, you don't have to flip to that passage, but I'll read this to you. He says, therefore, everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Very often we have been Christians for a long time, and we're still, as far as the word of God is concerned, a baby, and we can only take milk because we are unskilled in the word of righteousness. We do not know the word of God enough. So we are like a baby, you can only drink milk. And he went on to say, a solid food belongs to those who are of full age. When you grow, then you can eat solid food. I think that is all our experience, and if we have younger siblings, we can see that happening, right? Little babies, they drink milk, they can't eat food. After a while, they can eat solid food. And when we grow up, it says here, a solid food belongs to those who are of full age. Only those who have grown up can take solid food. Why? Because these grown-ups, they exercise something. By reason of use, they have their senses exercised. They grow up because they go back to, they eat solid food, because they go back to the Word of God, and they exercise, they think about it, they meditate upon it, they search, they investigate, they digest them, and that becomes solid food to them, and they grow. Today we are shallow in understanding the things about God. We are shallow in understanding the Word of God because we cannot take solid food. We're still always taking milk. We are going always have to go back to the first principles. And that is why Paul says here that it is the word of his grace that can build us up. The word of his grace is the word of God. It is only that which is able to build us up. Therefore, the only way for us really is to get rid of the shallowness by spending more time in the study of his word. You see, what our practice, what I used to, and sometimes I still do, I go to a passage, I read it, I don't quite understand it, and then I just skip it. Recently I'm trying to read over Leviticus about the offerings and so on. It seems so repetitive and so petty in a way, you know, how you make the flour, how you do this, if you how you cooked it, and all kinds of things, and some offerings you burn the fat, other things you burn everything, some you didn't burn. It's so sort of it messed my mind up, and so I just came over it. But then the other day I just thought, no, I must go back and read this again, and I go slowly. And then think about it, and it makes sense. Somehow it makes sense. And that is the way we often do. You know, when we come to a passage, we just don't quite understand it. We know what it says, but we don't really understand the meaning, and just skim over it and go to somewhere else. But that's not the way to do. We need to spend time on it, allow the Holy Spirit, which is prepared to teach us, because that is the job of the Holy Spirit, and gradually we practice doing that, our spiritual life will grow, our understanding of God's word will become deeper and deeper. And therefore we need to be careful about our shallowness in our understanding of God's word, because that directly affects our spiritual life. It directly affects our growth spiritually. Now, having said that, I think we need to understand that we cannot build ourselves up spiritually unless God is building our lives. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. We can't just depend on our wisdom and our understanding. Just as we cannot understand the gospel, we cannot accept the gospel purely by our intelligence. Paul says in Corinthians is that it is the foolishness of the message of the cross. To the world, it is foolishness. To those who are perishing, the message of the cross is foolishness. But to us, it is the power of God. Why? Because the Holy Spirit teaches us. Because we are able to surrender ourselves to Him and try to understand what God is trying to do to us. In the same case, in our study of the Word, to get rid of our shallowness in our spiritual life, we need to spend time and allow God to build up our life daily. And that is why in this verse 32 here, there's a balance here. See, before he says that I commend you to the word of his grace, in the first half he says, I commend you to God. In other words, we have to commit ourselves to God. Surrender ourselves to God first. And then come to his word and seek his word. And it is only through that we can be built up, because God's word is able to build us up. So let's try to move on from our infancy spiritually and get this shallowness in understanding God's word and understanding God's purpose for us, and move on to maturity. Try to eat, to learn gradually how to eat solid food. Spend more time in his word. The Lord himself told his disciples, he said, if my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done to you. If my words abide in you. Today, not only we need to read his word, we need to have his word abiding in us. In other words, to really come in and have it digested in us so that it becomes part of our life. Then, the Lord said, if you ask anything, ask what you desire, it will be done for you. The word of God alone is able to edify us and is able to edify the church. But first of all, we need to make an effort. We need to spend time in it. Sometimes we envy some brothers and sisters. How they know the Word of God. How they understand the Word of God. We never know that they have spent a lot of time in the study of the Word of God. There's no other way. It's only you spend time on it, then you will know. The Lord will help you. Your Holy Spirit is there to do the job for us. He will teach us to understand the truth. That is the promise of the Lord Jesus himself. So the second thing we need to do is to be careful of our shallowness in our Christian life. The third one comes in the next verse, and is a very short one. I have coveted no one silver or gold or apparel. Paul is reminding these elders in Ephesus who are to oversee the church that covetousness is to be avoided by Christians. Paul is warning them against a very natural human tendency. It is in our nature that we are covetous. This covetousness is a consuming and controlling desire for what others have and for more of what we already have. I don't know if you remember all the Ten Commandments which God gave the Israelites, and the last one is that thou shalt not covet. You see how important God placed this matter in his mind, in his plan for us. Naturally, we are covetous. We like something which you don't have. If you have $10, you want $20. I'm now reading a book by a Chinese author called Factory Girls. It talks about the factory girls working in Shenzhen, you know, in the vicinity, not just north of Hong Kong, where they have this great industrial development, and there are a lot of labor coming from the interior of China to there, and they've never even think of having $100. So when they came, they find a job, they got $100 a month. They are very contented. Then they come to know a neighbor from their own village, and this other girl says, "Oh, I'm making $120, you know, a month." We said, "What? I'm only making $100. And so this girl quit her job and tried to get into this other factory, which gives her $120 more. And that went on and on and on. From $120, she was very contented at the beginning, and then she became not contented. And she went on to get $140, $160, $200. And in the end, she's smart, she became the head of a department. And she was making about $2,000 a month. And she thought, well, I'm contented. But then ultimately there was an opportunity where she can even make much more. She quit that job, which paid her $2,000, which it was a fortune for her, and went on to this new job, which the employer promised that she would get much more. But in the end, there was a economic downturn, and the factory packed up, and she was so depressed. Why? Because she was not contented. But I'm not criticizing her. I'm just describing this because it is human nature to be coveting. And God tells us, thou shalt not covet. Those who covet will do anything to get what they want, including dishonoring God. And God takes a very serious view on this. Mind you, there's nothing wrong with having a desire for gain, but there's a line, a very fine line, between diligence and greediness, and that is what we as Christians need to be very careful about. A very fine line between diligence and godliness. And that is what Paul here was trying to warn the Ephesian elders. I think the best thing to consider covetousness is to look at the other side, what contentment is. Covetousness and is the opposite side of covetousness is contentment. Hebrews 13:5, the writers tell us, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you and forsake you. And Paul wrote his letter to Timothy, saying in a different way the same things. Godless with contentment is great gain. So we need to be contented. And Paul shows it by his own example. He said, I have labored with among you for 3 years, and yet I have not taken anything from you. I work with my own hands. And not only that, I work with my own hands, I also work to support others as well. Because in verse 34, it says, also for those who were with me. Paul was very contented. He was serving the Ephesian church, and he has every right to look for support by these Ephesian Christians, but he never did that. I think the trouble we have today is that we think we'll be content when we get a little bit more. But from what I told you about this Chinese factory girl in China, we are never content. We always want a little bit more. And that is often the pitfall that will affect our Christian life as well. We need to be content with our present circumstances, and we need to know that God is aware of all our needs. Whatever we need, God knows. God even knows what a little sparrow needs. Why would he not know what we actually need? If we really need something, God, I think, we can rely on him that he will readily provide for us. If we have God's gracious presence and his full assurance of what he says, that he will provide for our every need, why do we need to worry? Why do we need to covet things which we do not have at the moment? I don't have time to really go through this subject in detail this morning, but it's just to remind us the example of Paul, how he is content with his present circumstances and not covet things which he cannot lay his hands on, because he completely trusted in God that God will provide for him, because it is his promise and God is faithful. If he promises something, he will surely make it happen. So let us be content in what we have. Let us be content in our life. It doesn't mean that Christians must not have ambition. Yes, we can. It is right for us. God teaches us to improve ourselves in every way. But that fine line of having diligence in doing things to achieve, to improve ourselves, and the greediness, we have to be careful about. It is a very fine line, and Christians must be careful not to overstep it and cross from that diligence to greediness. And Paul, as I said, give us that example. He is content. He does not look to the Ephesians to support him if he can't do it himself. He not only did it for himself, he did it for others as well, his co-workers as well. So the third thing that we need to care about is, do not be covetous, do not be greedy. Let us be content. Even in spiritual things, if the Lord open our eyes to some spiritual matters, and that is all he enlightened us today, let us thank the Lord and thank him. And we know that if he wants us to understand a bit more, he will let us understand. But we need to have that mind, that urge to understand more. So that is the third thing. The fourth thing is, which is even more important there, and that is in verse 34. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who work with me. Aside from being content, what do you think this implies? It implies that not only Paul was serving really full time, I think, because he was speaking to this from house to house, from day to day. He is diligent. He is not lazy. And one of the worst things today, I think, especially among many younger Christians, is our laziness. You know, when I was young, I never heard of this word lay back. But today we use it very often, right? Somebody's a lay back. He's very laid back. I think it's probably a more polite way of saying that this guy is lazy, right? Instead of saying you are lazy, you're very laid back. Laziness is one of the fatal things in the Christian life, I think. Paul is spending his full time in his service for the Lord. Yet he earned his own way as a tent maker. He is not lazy. Whatever time he was not preaching, he is working to make a living. He could have used his apostolic authority to ask the Ephesian Christians to support him. Because if he does that, he did that, it would be much an easier life for him. At least he will have time to rest after his preaching and so on. Remember, Paul was he was preaching from the evening to the morning. Even this guy was falling asleep and fell downstairs. He was preaching. He could have easily rested, right? But he used every minute of his time to serve the Lord. And aside from that, he is working as well. You know, sometimes I don't know how often you read the book of Proverbs. And when I was looking up the concordance last night about laziness, I found this portion in this paragraph in Proverbs so interesting and so instructive. I think it's worth turning to it. Proverbs 24 talks about what a lazy man. What will happen to a lazy man? Chapter 24 in Proverbs, verse 30. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30. It says, I went by the field of the lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there he was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. In other words, he was thinking about this scene of this lazy man and his surroundings. I looked on it and received instruction. And it taught him a lesson about laziness. He said, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, so shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. It's a very sarcastic, but it's a true description of what laziness can do to us. We know this in our daily affairs in the world. Whether we are studying or working, we know this is what happened. Just a little sleep, a little slumber, and a little folding of the hands to rest, and your poverty will come in like a prowler, like a thief, without you knowing, and your need like an armed man. That is what laziness does to us in this world, and spiritually it does the same thing, even worse. Why do we see that we are not growing? We are so immature after so many years after we have accepted the Lord. It's because sometimes we are lazy. We are lazy in studying the Word of God. We are lazy in having fellowship with brothers and sisters. We are lazy in praying. And unknowingly, it says, poverty will come in like a thief. We say we are spiritually poor. Think about it. It may be because we are lazy. Paul is not. He is not only, as I say, not only working for himself, he's to support himself, he's working to support others as well. He uses every minute that he has, he can get around to lay his hands on, to work. And today, I think it reminded me that laziness is one of the dangerous things, most dangerous things in our spiritual life. We do not know the Bible well because we don't spend time on it. We spend time on playing games, we spend time on the internet, we spend time on many other things. It's not that we are not to do those, but we need to have a balanced life. We need to put more emphasis on our time with the Lord. And it is fatal if we become spiritually lazy. And sometimes we, if we think about it, we can see the reason why we are so poor spiritually. We complain very often that, oh, you know, my spiritual life is not what I want it to be. And we seem to be puzzled why others are growing and I'm not. Why some Christians who have accepted a lot years after I did, and he's now spiritually more discerning than I am. It's because you have become lazy. And then the last thing here is in verse 35. It is in the last sentence there, it is more blessed to give than to receive. On Friday night when we came to this verse in my group, I shared that, you know, it didn't say that it is more profitable to give than to receive. That's not what it says here. It says it's more blessed to give than to receive. What is the Lord teaching us here? Is he teaching us that if we give more away, then he will give us more back? I don't think that is what he's teaching here. The Lord is not saying that if I give something away, he is going surely to give me back more. But I will be more blessed in his eyes. What the Lord really means here is that it's better for us to share with others than to keep what we have. I think that's what he wants to say, and that's what Paul was trying to demonstrate to us. You know, if what I have I'm willing to share, then keeping it for myself and trying to collect more, then it is more blessed in that way. When I have, I'm spiritually speaking, what I have I am always ready and willing to share with others, and not just keep getting from us. You know, sometimes at meetings and other things, we just want to go there and listen and listen and listen to collect more. But the Lord says, no, if you share, if you give, if you share what you have in your heart to others, then through that process you will receive back more blessings than you think, than you have given up. And that is, I think, a good encouragement to some of us who for years they have been so quiet and so modest in our sharing meetings, in our Bible studies. They just come and sit there and listen, collecting more from others and not giving out. But try that. Try sharing a little bit, and you'll find that the Lord will bless you because you're going to get back more. You have learned spiritual lessons by your sharing. You may not be able to share much. You may not be eloquent or anything. You may even be wrong. But through that attempt to share, the Lord will let you see that you will become more blessed. You will receive more in return through those sharing. And I think that is a good encouragement to those of us who have been that way for a long, long time. Of course, you have to be prepared when you want to share. If you have nothing to share, then if you have not prepared your heart, there's nothing for you to share. But prepare and share whatever little you have. Maybe it's very insignificant, but you'll find that the Lord will give you back, will bless you more. You will learn spiritually. And Paul says that if you are selfish, you keep things to yourself, it is you who will be the one to lose out in the end. So this, it is more blessed to give than to receive, is a very, very true and practical thing. You try to give out and not collect. Spiritually saying, you try to share what little you have, and you will receive back more in return. So next time, as I said, really, at Bible studies or whatever, meetings, whatever opportunities you have, try to share. Come to the meetings prepared. And give whatever little you have. And if you try to practice that and make it become a habit, and gradually that habit will turn itself into a character in you. So all these things, Paul really poured his heart out for these elders in Ephesus. And what he said to these elders are applicable to us. We have to pay attention, take heed, watch and remember. We have to be not be careless. We have not to be. We need to improve our shallowness, and we need to not be lazy, and we also need to exercise ourselves spiritually. In that way, I'm sure that the Lord will keep us and we will grow. We'll go from drinking milk into eating solid food. And in this way, we'll be also able to keep our footsteps in the right direction. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we know how inadequate we are in our pursuit of spiritual matters. We know there are so many things that distract us in our daily lives. And Lord, may your word really remind us how far behind from the target, from the way that you want us to be. Lord, we know that you want us to be mature. We want us to know you more and more. And it takes us to completely surrender ourselves to you, to heed to your word, and to spend more time in praying, in studying your word, and in fellowshipping together, that we may grow together and avoid all these pitfalls in our Christian lives. So, Lord, we just ask you to help us and to take our hand into yours and lead us into this way, into this path, whereby we can mature spiritually and live a life which is pleasing to you. In your most precious name we pray. Amen.